spiritual strength. Nothing for spiritual strength. That's why people no longer can believe God and stand on the word and believe for anything. Everything they come now, you know, everything is artificial. You know what I mean. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, how do we get to know who the standard bearers are, the star messengers are? Hallelujah. The first church age is the Ephesian church age. And the star messenger for that age was Apostle Paul. He was the light bearer. Confirm that. Let me rush through. I give you scriptures. You can read that later. Confirm it from Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 66 to verse 7. Verse 6 to 7. Which was fulfilled in Acts chapter 13, verse 46 to verse 48. Now God has appointed him to be a light to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And that's why in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8, Apostle Paul spoke about the difference between him and Apostle Peter. I made it known there that Apostle Peter was the one raised for the Jews, the circumcision. And he was raised to shine the light among the Gentiles, the uncircumcision. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9, he made it emphatically that if any man preaches any other gospel contrary to what he have preached, let that person be accursed. So, Apostle Paul stood out among all the stars of that age. He stood up as the first, the reference point. He was above all. By all measures, he achieved more work among the Gentiles than any of them. And so he became the reference point. Every other person that was picked in any age, you have to be the closest in that age to Apostle Paul. And that's why we have Irenaeus in the next church age, known as Smyrna. And we have Martin in the next church age, for the church age of Pergamos. Columba was the next church age messenger for Thyatira. Martin Luther was the next church age messenger, the star messenger for Sardesian church age, Sardis. And John Wesley, between 1750 and 1906, the Philadelphian church age. Hallelujah. And the last church age is the Laodicean church age. Hallelujah. That is where you are asking that question. How do we know that it is William Branham? Once again, I have to refer you to Matthew chapter 2. Wise men saw a star. And I told you that every preacher is a star, giving forth some light. Just as those astrologers, they were studying the stars in the sky, and they saw one that was different from the rest. So also, those who are sincere in this age, we have looked at all the preachers, all the stars in Christianity in this age, right from 1906, when the Pentecostal age again was brought in, the gifts were restored. This thing we are saying, all the theologians, they believe on the seven church ages. Their problem is identifying the star messengers. They identify up to the sixth one. But when it came to this seventh one, they are still confused until now. But we looked all through. Remember that star that they saw began to move. And it moved and took them to where Jesus Christ was born. It was a star of Jesus. A star to show the way to Jesus. And Jesus Christ is the Word. And we looked at all the monumental preachers. None had the kind of ministry William Branham had. And it's only William Branham we saw in this confused age, in this age of deceit, that says something that brought us back to this Bible Christianity. All the rest, they are ordaining their wives as deputy overseer, ordaining them as pastors, standing on the pulpit and preaching. William Branham says the Bible forbids it. All of them believe in three persons in one God, Trinity. William Branham made it clear, it is not three persons in one God, it is one God in three offices. I'm proving by the Bible. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All of them will take you to the water. After wasting your time in baptismal school and class and examination, you fail, you repeat another 6 months. I take you to the water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Others will sprinkle water on you. Others will baptize you as a little child. But this is the only man that gave us the correct interpretation of Matthew 28 verse 19. That the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost with scriptures to prove it is the Lord Jesus. Therefore, baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That is the only man that sounded different from the rest. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we looked at him. He's the kind of anointing. He's the one that was the closest to Apostle Paul in all doctrines. Because in that vision that he said he saw himself at the gate, and an angel stood by the gate, and he was coming here, and they were stopping him from entry. He said, not now. No, not now. You can't come here now. So he said, who are those there? He said, when you come, you will know them. He said, well, let me be sure whether we come or not. Is Paul there? The angel said, yeah, he's there. He said, is Peter there? He said, yes, he's there. He said, if Peter makes it, Paul makes it, say, I will make it because I preach what Apostle Paul preached. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want you to note that William Branham, blessed be the name of the Lord, was a prophet. He was a prophet. Notice that the church of Jesus Christ started with a prophet. Apostle Paul was a prophet. Hallelujah. And the church will also close with a prophet. But the church started with a writing to close with a speaking prophet. The power of the spoken word. There's a reason. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember, in Hosea chapter 12 verse 13, the Bible says that by a prophet, God brought out Israel from Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. Amen. He brought them out by a prophet and preserved them by a prophet. The ministry of a prophet is important in the course. And then I'm talking about dispensational prophets. I'm not talking about the fivefold prophet. Amen. I'm not talking about Prophet Sunday, Prophet Igbo. No, not be that kind of one. Not be that kind of one. That's a fivefold prophet. Amen. I'm talking of dispensational prophet, monumental prophet. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I always say something, Pastor Thomas, I said, in the course of event, in the divine timetable, that after the shout, the next thing that we are waiting for is the voice of the archangel and the revelation that the seven thunders will produce. I hope I'm not confusing anybody. The revelation that the seven thunders will produce, it will not be written anywhere. It will be spoken. And therefore, I am not surprised that the last church age messenger was a prophet. If you can't receive what he's saying, you can never be positioned to receive what the seven thunders will speak. It's so important you catch that. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. How do we know? It is William Branham, blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, here is wisdom. In Revelation chapter 13 verse 18, he said, here is wisdom. Now listen, this thing is not coincidence. He is the messenger to the seventh church age. And see the way God did it. He has three names. Three is God's number for perfection. William Marion Branham. He is the messenger to the seventh church age. Now listen. Spell his names. William, seven letters. Marion, seven letters. Branham, seven letters. It is not coincidence. It's not coincidence. When grace visited Israel in Egypt, I've heard the cry of my people and I've come down to deliver them. Who did he send? Moses, grace. Five is the number of grace. M-O-S-E-S. Five letters. When he sent Jesus Christ again to usher in the grace dispensation, his name is Jesus. How many letters? It's not coincidence. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Will Abraham fulfill the last prophecy? And that last prophecy is Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Listen, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Chapter 4 is the last chapter of Malachi. Verse 5 and verse 6, they are the last two verses. And he fulfilled the law, he's the last church age messenger. But now see his birth. William Branham was born on April the 6th, 5 a.m. April, the fourth month of the year. At 5 a.m. on the 6th of that month. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. It's no coincidence. Lila, it's no coincidence. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And remember, his ministry was a messianic ministry. Messianic ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Jews were taught when the Messiah will come, how they will identify him. In John chapter 4, he met the woman at the well. Hallelujah. And gave her one discernment. And it was a sign. The woman said, Our fathers taught us that when the Messiah will come, this is what he will do. He said, now maybe that. That sign was a messianic sign. God himself again in human form, coming to display something. He met Abraham. And his wife Sarah was at the tent behind there. Hallelujah. And he was promising them a child. And because they were too old, Sarah disbelieved. At the tent there, at the back there, she was laughing. But that angel that stood with Abraham, hallelujah, it was not an ordinary angel. it was God in angelic form. Hallelujah. Began to discern her there at the back. Why are you laughing? Is there anything too hard for God to do? He said, I don't laugh. He said, no, I know, I know. You are at the back there. And this same sign again was ushered into this age using the ministry of William Mary Abraham. And that's why sometimes, to let the people know the unusual ministry that he had, he will tell you that Sarah was at the back side of the tent. He said, yes. He said, and what was it? It was, he turned his back to the tent and he was able to see Sarah there, and then he will turn and back the congregation and say, if that same God is here now, will he do what he did before? They say, yes, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he will pick a woman. They say, woman, sit this, so, and begin to discern her. Nobody had that gift before William Branham ministry started. The gift to call somebody and discern your problem. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Discern your problem and give solution. That was a messianic ministry. And above all, to show you that it was a messianic ministry again, because the age is closing. Hallelujah. He was fulfilling Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, he was the seventh angel messenger. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. That mystery is the redemption for Gentiles. How the Gentiles took a higher position now. Esther, that was a slave. I didn't finish the story of Esther. Oh, something distracted me. I didn't finish the story of Esther. I only told you the maidens. Eh? Hallelujah. I only told you the maidens. One by one, I mentioned them. Hallelujah. And we read it. What I wanted to bring out in that story was how Esther became the queen. Amen. Did I finish it? I don't finish, oh. I don't finish. Ah! The thing I want to tell you, I don't come talk. Church, listen. I was telling you that when it was time for all of them to appear before the king, two things happened. Number one, he said, those maidens, it is what they wanted that the chamberlain gave them. And they appeared like that. Painted mouth. Painted leg. High heel spike shoes. You know, I saw a sister that entered my office one time. The thing be like broomstick. So I was interested to see how they work out with her. You know. So if this thing break, who break her leg? Make it tall like that, and then it was, you know. Ah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It was then I understood how, you know, I used to wonder why, you know, there's a particular way the women, they walk. Now the kind of shoe, the shoe they wear, determine how, you know, how they walk. Praise the Lord. That's why determine how they walk. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, a lot of people, then they become a fashion trend. Even women who don't wear high heel, eh? They begin to copy them. Eh? They think that is the acceptable way of walking. You know, there's the latest way that young men walk now. Now listen, you know, the foolish thing about it is they don't know the history. Eh? You know, there are trousers, what do they call it? Shaggy. Saggy. Saggy. You know, they will wear boxer inside, then bring the trouser here. You know. And to them, it is style. But they don't even know the history of that shaggy. Saggy. See, it is prisoners. In American prison, they will not allow you to wear belt inside the prison. So since they will not allow them to wear belt now, the trouser that is bigger than your waist, it must be, when you enter prison, you must reduce weight now. You know, so the trouser not hang there anymore. So it is the trouser they are battling to keep, you know, that they are walking like that. And then they came outside, and then they continue like that, it became fashion. Now you're picking from outside your house. Go carry your own trouser. Then draw it down. Now, gangsters. Gangsters. Gangsterism. You know, they are criminals. And they know that they are always looking for the ones they are on the street. They know they are declared wanted. So, to walk out for street, they must look left and right. So that thing that they are doing like that, in case they come, make it wrong. And then people think that it is style. So you see your children now, they walk out, then too they walk out like that. They walk out like that. Are you a gangster? So they wear high heel. You see a Christian woman. You are a Christian. And there is no difference between now that you are a Christian and how you used to appear before you became a Christian. That is not true Christianity. True Christianity is from an experience with God that reflects in a life that you will live. Nobody has ever met God in any meaningful experience that remained the same. Proud Jacob, when he finished wrestling with that angel and his identity was changed, his name was changed, the way he was walking also changed. So when you say you are a Christian, and then there is nothing you can show that this is how I was before, even in your appearance. So many of us, we just come to Christ and just add Christ to our own nature. So it does not, your Christianity does not affect the cloth you wear. So the same thing, what the prostitute put on is the same thing you too put on. Prostitutes wear clothes to attract their customers. You are not a prostitute. So you, in your heart, you don't mean to attract anybody. But here you are, dressing like a prostitute. A Christian woman does not appreciate God. God made you beautiful. Maintain that beauty. You must make up. The word make up. You know the meaning of make up. There is a deficiency somewhere, so you are making it up. Your nails should have been colored. So you make up for the lack of color on your neck. So you go and buy color red, color green, color blue, color, depending on the color that you believe God made mistake, you know, give you. So you paint your leg, paint, and then you are going to church. Paint your hand. Then you go and cut the nail that God gave you, and then put Dracula nails. Vampire. You see? Hallelujah. That's the type. That's how our women want to wear. A woman is a woman. A man is a man. The Bible forbids a woman to wear that which pertains to a man. and a man to wear that will pertain to a woman. Where are you getting those trousers from? In this part of the world, trousers belong to the men. Why will you as a woman wear trousers? You know where that spirit is coming from. Go and carry your hair. Go and chuck it inside somewhere. Pour one can chemical there. By the time you come out, be like a rat that is coming out of sewage. And they will tell you, you look beautiful. A pastor will tell you, you're beautiful. Aye, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm facing the women. Because William Branham said, if you want to know the spiritual estate of any church, when you enter there, he said, watch the women. They speak about the spiritual condition of that church. Carry Chinese hair. You are an African, but you want your hair to look like American hair. You want your hair to look like Oyibo hair. You are an African. God made mistake by making you an African. You see? And I've told you something. So many of us, children of God, we have delayed our marriages. I'm telling you that's the truth. Or you go and marry the wrong person. You go and marry the wrong person. If you marry any man that likes you, loves you, because of the dress you wear, eh? Take time. Praise the Lord. If you marry any man that loves you because of the way you paint your face, because of this, let me tell you, if that is what attracted a man to you, remember, everything that goes up. I'm telling you this thing. Because there is no artificial beauty that lasts. That bleaching that you bleach, this skin is not meant to be defensed with chemicals. After some time, you will regret and there will be nothing to restore it to what it used to be. That is the time that the man will now see another one where appear like that. And then you say, get you what happened? Then you say, your husband not look you again. The thing where make can look you, the time don't pass. Be natural. As natural as possible. All those seductive clothes you wear, they will attract the wrong people. Because no Christian is attracted to such worldly dressing. No man that is a Christian that will come after you because he likes the way you dress. None. I'm telling you now. That is why, who are those coming after you? They are feel alright boys. They feel alright, boys. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when it was the time for Esther, the Bible says, it is only what the chamberlain gave to her that she put on. It is only what the chamberlain gave to her that she put on. Esther had her own, what she wanted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can somebody help us tell them that these things are off. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pastor Thomas, help me tell them the power is low. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Esther certainly had what she desires to be.
She desires to dress
like those people she sees in the film house, in the movie. Nollywood, Hollywood, Bollywood, Bollywood. All the wood and Okija wood. Nigerian movies, now Okija movies. Yes, certainly now you want to be like that. But because you want to be pleasing before the king, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And who else knows better than the chamberlain? So it is only what the chamberlain gave her. And the chamberlain dressed her. She allowed the chamberlain to dress her in the acceptable way. In this age, the chamberlain is dressing the bride now. The chamberlain is dressing us. And let me tell you, this is thus said the Lord. William Branham said, this is thus said the Lord. He is not a Nigerian. He's an American. He said, let the daughters of God not wear those pants, the trousers. They call them pants in America. And no believer of the ministry of William Branham anywhere in the world wear those trousers. William Branham said it is wrong for a woman to cut her hair. Because your hair is your glory. And he told the men, he said, when your wife goes to cut her hair, what she's saying is she's no longer under your authority. He said, you are free to divorce her. Because the hair is a symbol of a woman under authority. But today, women struggle with men for haircut. Cut her like this. They call it fashion. That's not Christian fashion. Praise the Lord. Esther came before the king and she was accepted. Now listen, the interesting thing about Esther was that Esther was a slave. In Babylon, she was a slave. And an ordinary slave, somebody that was a nobody, a slave. That's the meaning of grace. That is who the Gentiles are. Dogs like us. We now came and occupy a higher position than Israel. Hallelujah. Because we obeyed the chamberlains. He came to his own rejected him. But as many as received him, we are the ones that received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I was talking to you about William Branham, the uniqueness, something that called our attention to him. I said he was born in April. And according to the zodiac sign, for those born in April, what is the sign? What's the name? Aries. Aries, right? And then, what is the symbol? It's a ram. It's a ram. Messianic ministry. And I got on the bus. Was always seemed to be subject to spirits. I was standing there, and this sailor was standing behind me, and I was going up to patrol. And I was going up to the Harryville Forestry, was on a bus. I kept feeling some strange something. I looked around in there, and there was a great, big, heavy-set woman sitting there, nicely dressed. She said, how do you do? Said, how do you do? I thought it was just a woman, you know, talking. So I just kept, she said, I would like to talk to you a minute. I said, yes, ma'am. And I turned around. She said, this was going on inside the bus. She said, did you know you were born under a sign? I thought, another one of them funny women. So I just looked out. I looked on out. And so I never said a word. I just kept. She said, could I speak to you a minute? And I just kept quiet. I said, you know, and she said, don't act like that. I just kept looking forward. I thought, that isn't gentlemanlike. She said, I would like to speak to you just a moment. I just kept looking forward. And I wouldn't pay any attention to her. Directly, I thought, I believe I'll see if she says like the rest of them. I turned around. I thought, oh my, that will quiver me. I know, because I hated to think that. And I turned around. She said, maybe I better explain myself. She said, I am an astrologer. I said, I thought you were something like that. She said, I'm on my way to Chicago to see my boy who is a Baptist minister. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, anybody ever tell you you were born under a sign? I said, no, ma'am. I lied to her there, see? And I said, just wanted to see what she was going to say. And I said, no, ma'am. And she said, hasn't ministers ever told you? I said, I don't have nothing to do with ministers. And she said, And I said, well, she said, if I tell you just exactly where you were born, will you believe me? I said, no, ma'am. And she said, well, I can tell you where you were born. I said, I don't believe it. And she said, you were born on April the 6th, 1909, at 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, that's right. I said, how do you know that? I said, okay, tell this seller here when he was born. She said, I can't. And I said, why? How do you know it? She said, look, sir. She said, when she began to talk about this astronomy now, and she said, every so many years, she said, you remember when the morning star come that led the wise men to Jesus Christ? And I kind of stalled, you know, and said, well, I don't know nothing about religion. And she said, well, you've heard about the wise men coming to see Jesus? I said, yes. And she said, well, what were the wise men? What was the wise man? Oh, I said, they were just wise men, all I know. She said, well, what is a wise man? She said, the same thing that I am, an astrologist, stargazer, they call them. And she said, you know, before God does anything in the earth, he always declares it in the heaven and then on the earth. And I said, I don't know. And she said, well, she called two or three stars like Mars, Jupiter, and Venus. It wasn't them, but she said something like that. They crossed their paths and come together and met and said, there was three wise men that come to meet the Lord Jesus. And one was from the lineage of Ham, and one of Shem, and the other one, Japheth, and said, when they met together at Bethlehem, the three stars that they were from every person on earth said, they have something to do with the stars. Said, ask that seller there, when the moon goes out and the heavenly planet goes out, the tide doesn't go with it and come in. I said, I don't have to ask him that. I know that. And she said, well, your bed has something to do with the stars up there. And I said, well, that I don't know. And she said, now, these three wise men came and said, when the three stars, they came from different directions and they met at Bethlehem and they said, they found out and consulted, and one was from the lineage of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah. And she said, then they came and worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ and said, when they departed, they brought gifts and put to him. And said, Jesus Christ said in his ministry, Shem and Japheth people, then he will come again. And she said, now, these planets, heavenly planets, as they move around, she said, they're separated. They have never been on the earth since known, but said, every so many hundred years, they cross their circles like this. If there happened to be an astronomer here, you might know what she was talking about. I don't. So when she was talking, she said, they crossed like that and said, in commemoration of the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind when God gave his son. When those planets crossed themselves together, why? He said, he sends another gift to the earth and said, you were born on the crossing of that time. And said, that is the reason I knew it. Well, then I said, lady, the first place, I don't believe anything about it. I'm not religious, and I don't want to hear no more about it. And walked away. And so I cut her off pretty short. So I went on out. An astrologer confirmed that William Brown was a gift to the whole earth. Hey, Jehovah Almighty. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me quickly round up. So how do we know it is William Branham? Amen. Demons recognized Jesus, but religious people called him Beelzebub. Astrologers and demons recognized the ministry of William Branham. But religious people, Pentecostal religious leaders, Christian leaders, call him false. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And every dispensational minister will know which scripture he is fulfilling. Oh yes. In John chapter 1, they asked John the Baptist, who do you say you are? They send us and send us so that we shall tell them who you are. Are you that prophet? Are you Elijah? Are you Jeremiah? Who are you? What did he answer? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He went to verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 40. He said, that is the ministry he is fulfilling. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the case of William Branham too. The scripture, I said this last Sunday in the church here. That Matthew 13 verse 52. The scribe that is an householder that brings out treasure from both old and new. Hallelujah. That is the ministry of William Branham. Because he had